Shmuel Aleph Perches. Vayhi kasher zokin Shmuel. V'yosem es bonav shoftim Yisrael. So the previous perek we were discussing how Shmuel became the judge, and people started to listen to what he had to say, and his role of him traveling from city to city. He was constantly on the move, being inspiring people. So Pasuk tells us that Shmuel got old, which is Shmuel Aleph, only the eighth parak already talks about his him getting old. Let's talk about, we'll see that in the Farsh in a second. Yosem is Bonav Shoftim Yisrael. So because he saw that he was getting older, so he decided to appoint his kids. So maybe they'll continue in the position, in his job.
Well, I hope they follow in his footsteps, not like Eliot.
Right, that's what we would hope, until we'll see in the next in a couple more psukim, and unfortunately they didn't do very well either. It's brought down in the English here on page 49, because the kasha is that Shmuel was really not old, because Shmuel, we know, died at 52. I mean, what are we talking about? How could the Navi testify that Shmuel was old? Shmuel certainly was not old. So it says in the English down here that he appeared old because he had turned prematurely white because of his great exertions in constantly traveling throughout the land to lead the people. So he was mamish mosin nefesh.
Now he's the kamzakanti, sounds like.
Yeah. So that's what happened over here. He was young, and then he became old. And for that, that's why the Torah says, the Navi says, that he was a zokin. Even though he was really, in age, he was a younger person. Some people actually explain the Maisa of Rebbe Elizabeth Azariah, that when he was appointed as Nasi, so his wife asked, so where's your gray in your beard? Right? And he was only 18 years old, so he got gray, and the Gemara Bracha says it was really a nace. But some people say it was also, obviously it was a nace, but there was a little bit of stress in the position. So he was in such a stressful position. The English also says over here that there was no case of nepotism in the book of Judges. If Shmuel chose his sons to assist him, he must have felt that they were the most qualified people available. He would just say, all right, what the heck, there's no one else. Obviously, he felt that his children were deserving of this particular position. Okay, fine. Let's move on to the next pasuk. Pasuk Bet describes who these kids were a little bit. Most people probably don't know Shmuel's name, the names of Shmuel's sons, but here they are. Vayhi Shem Beno HaBachor Yoel, Shem Mishnehu Aviyo. So Shmuel's two sons were named, as we just read, Yoel and Aviyah. Shoftim Bever Shava. So it tells us that where they were both judges, they were both in the same city, in Be'er Sheva. Okay, so why do we really care exactly where they were? So, okay, they're in Be'er Sheva, very nice. Why do we need to know exactly where they judged? Doing the Radak. The Radak says that this pasuk is coming to contrast the way that they behaved and the way their father behaved. Says the Radak, Shoiftin Be'er Sheva, Sefer Zel Hoidia. It's coming to tell us, Kilholchu B'darchei Aviyim. They didn't do the same thing as their father. They acted quite differently than their father Shmuel. Why? Shaya Hoylech Vesoyvev Al Harim, because we mentioned last time that Shmuel traveled throughout all the different cities. He went to Beis El, to Gilgal, to Mitzpah, which is said in the previous pasuk at the top of the page. Traveled all over from city to city. Why did Shmuel do this? Shul Hatriach as Kol Yisrael of all of Mishpat, because he was so concerned over the feelings of others that he wanted to make sure that they wouldn't have to trouble themselves to get the right psak. So instead of them coming to him, he went to them. That was the way that Shmuel operated. However, the reason for this pasuk is to say that's not how Shmuel's kids Yoel and Aviya operated. Rather, forget about the fact they didn't do that. They didn't travel from place to place. They lived and stationed themselves mamash on the edge of Eretz Yisrael, which is an extreme south, which Be'er Sheva, of course, is in the south of Israel. Ki ber shava hoya b'kseiretz Yisrael. He says, Kamosha Omar hakosu midan v'ad ber shava. So the way of describing the different cities from one to the next, from one side to the other, is from Dan all the way until Beersheba. So wouldn't it have made more sense that they should have strategically, if they're not going to move around, at least be in the center? Don't be on one side where people would have to literally travel the other side of the country, or worse, not, and then end up not getting the psak that they needed. So continues the Radak. Bedayin, and it's not only that. Ilu hoyo echad yoshi bedah. Ve'echad yoshi b'Beersheba. There's a packet over there. Good evening. If one of them would have lived in, been stationed in Dan, and the other one would have been stationed in Beersheba, lo hayra, it wouldn't have been so bad. As you can say, we're in the middle of the Radak on Pasuk Bet, on page 48. So, okay, obviously they didn't have to be together, because Shmuel was a one-man band. He was by himself, and he was able to get along fine as being a shofet, being a judge, and being able to give guidance. Okay, so now there were two. So instead of them dividing their forces, one of them living on one side and one of them living far away to make it easier for people to travel, that's not what they did. Both of them lived together in the same city, which is a city which is extreme south of Eretz Israel. Latriach Yisrael of Olehem, Laharbo Sahara. In order to make their traveling more difficult, which will increase the expenses. You can imagine the price of gasoline traveling all the way to Beersheba.
They don't want to be bothered. People wouldn't come.
Right. That's what it could be that as well. So therefore, that's the inyan of why the Radak is pointing
out. I don't see how much better one in Dan and one in Beersheba be. That's the extreme north. People are still going to have to travel a long way.
What if you live in Dan? So at least you can go right there or nearby. If you live in Dan and you have to go to Beersheba, it's all the way. You're right. Put it smack in the center is better. Right, it's a little better. But they decided, no, we're going to live together, we're going to be in the same city.
The Mishkan was nowhere? Where was the Mishkan now?
The Mishkan was no longer in Shiloh. It was moved to Nov.
Well, okay, so that's what they should have been. Nov is outside of Yerushalayim.
It's a good question why they didn't station themselves there. They didn't station themselves
and
in
the
Nov.
People would have come to Nov over there.
The Aron also was not in Nov. What?
People would have come to Nov 3 times a year.
Assuming that there is a mitzvah being Olal Regal to a Mishkan, which may not.
Well, I know they brought the Karban Pesach in Shiloh.
The other times, right? It's a machlokes.
So at least they would have come Pesach.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And what if you have a Shiloh in the month of June?
But
you have to wait until Pesach to
better
get
nothing.
Hard in.
Better.
You're right.
Okay, whatever.
All right, so travel to Beersheba. What? I have to travel around? I have to be a basin on wheels? Come to my city and I'll paskin for you. That was their attitude. They felt that it wasn't necessary for them to do what their father did. In fact, as we mentioned, that since the Torah, the Pasuk said in Pasuk Aleph, even though you're dealing with a young man, Shmuel, again, died at 52. The Pasuk says, Vahikash Zakin Shmuel. What do you mean he was old? So as we said, the Ralbag was telling us, because he traveled so much, it got to him. It was too, it was physically draining on Shmuel that he looked older than he really was. So maybe the children looked at their father and they said,
that's not for us.
That's not for us. It's an interesting
way of looking at it. Yeah, but nobody asked him to travel like that, but at least be in a centrally located place.
Right. Well, that's what the Radak says. That was the mistake that they made by not emulating their father's actions.
So
and now it's going to be even
so
more.
They didn't do it to Moses, but I mean, they did it. They didn't purposely do it like that.
It's interesting. The question is why Beersheba? Why did they choose that? That's what they chose. That's where they wanted to have. That's where they wanted to live. They enjoyed it. They didn't care about you. They weren't concerned about your pain and you're having to travel, your traveling expenses. Pasuk Gimel. Not only that, the way that they didn't travel, like Shmuel always traveled around to make sure that people were doing the right thing, they gave proper tochacha and rebuke. V'lo holchu banav bidrachav. that the children did not go on the proper path. They went off the derech, which also could mean, as we said, they didn't go on the same derech or the same itinerary as their father, who would constantly travel around. They did not go on that same path of traveling around. Ve'yitu achrei habotza, and they went after botza. Mesudasion translates as chemdes hamomoin. They desired money, which also could mean like taking shaychad, taking bribes. That's what the pasuk concludes. Ve'yichu shaychad, they took bribes. Ve'yatu mishpat, and they perverse justice. So, on one hand, we began saying that there's no way Shmuel would have picked these kids unless he felt that they were the best for the job. Happened to be my own kids. Obviously, maybe a parent can look at their own children and be a little bit biased and think that, you know, my kid's a tzaddik, when it turns out not to be that way. We find that by Yitzchak with Esau. But Rashi, over here in Pasuk Gimel, focuses on this idea and is really bothered with this inyan that Shmuel's kids, after all, Shmuel's sons, how could we say that they were, that they took bribes, that they, you know, they desired money? Very hard, after coming from a person like Shmuel, who never took anything. Not only did he not take anything, but he didn't even sleep in people's homes. The pasuk said, Kisham Beso, that he never derived any hanah from anyone. He never took a single thing from another person. So it's very bizarre that his children were almost the exact opposite. So Rashi says, that's not really pshat. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. Rabbi Seinu Amru, Chazal tell us, Luchot b'nei Shmuel. Don't be so quick to point a finger at Shmuel's sons and say that they sinned. Anyone who says that they sinned, it's a toast. It's a mistake. That's the lashon of the Gemara. So what do you mean? How can you argue the pasuk? The pasuk says that they were, says Rashi, Elo holchu b'darchei avihim. First of all, as we said, they didn't do the exact same thing as their father did. They didn't travel around. That doesn't mean that they were Rishayim. It doesn't mean you can paint such a terrible picture about these kids. Vehemu also came. They didn't do it. Why didn't they do it? Says the Gemara, they didn't do it because they were lazy, that they wanted to stay in one place. They didn't do it, stay in one place because they love Be'er Sheva, the summers are nice, and they didn't want to travel around. No. Says Rashi, it's Kidei Laharbo Schar L'chaznehem L'seifrehem. What does that mean? So, well, this is a Gemara. The Gemara is saying that these guys, having a court, it wasn't just Judge A and Judge B and that's it. There's a whole staff, and you have overhead expenses. You have to pay the scribes, you have to pay the stenographers, you have to pay all these different people. So the reason why they charged money was not for themselves. Says the Gemara, Chas v'Shalom, they never took a penny. They never took anything. But the problem was that they charged people. But they were really doing it for the right thing. They were doing it in order to make sure that these people were paid. So let them travel around. So on one hand, you can say, I show a lack of sympathy and care that I'm making you schlep all the way to Be'er Sheva. But if I'm traveling around, it's not just me traveling around, I have to travel around with all these people. And if I'm traveling around with all these people are rooted up from their families. So I'd rather stay in one place so that people can feel comfortable and live and have a salary and function. So the question is, what did he do wrong? This is what they did, so why does the Torah paint such a negative picture about them? Because the issue is, perception creates reality. People look at something, if it gives a certain image, you have to be careful about the image.
That's what happened to Mesudas David. How could he say that? After the Gemara tells you clear cut.
That what? What does the Mesudas David say?
That they were honorable people. You didn't just quote, they said they took shochet?
Rashi. Oh, yeah. You said the Mesudas David, though? Quoted Mesudas David?
Who the one said took shochet? That's the Mesudas David.
Oh, the Pasuk says it also. V'yichu shochet, v'yatu mishpat, right? Pasuk says that they took bribes. You're right. Mesudas David then focuses on, says that, Kitu atzmon lishchoi b'mamon, they had a cheshek, a desire for money, u'bavur zeh lochu shochet. That's what Mesudas David said. Because they desired money, they took bribes because they loved money. They were money hungry.
And worse than that, hito mishpat.
Right.
This is not what the Gemara seems to indicate.
Right. The Gemara seems to indicate that we should not judge these kids in such a negative light. But the idea is that even if they didn't take the money for themselves, the fact that they took money, so I don't people. How do I know? So I'm collecting $1,000. The fact that you came to my court, yeah. Behind the scenes, after you leave, I'm going to hand the 100 to you, 100 to you, and I'll end up with nothing myself. But as far as you're concerned, I took the $1,000. That's all you see.
Nice.
Right. So therefore, for that reason, that's the reason why they made the mistake. Shmuel was so cautious that not only did he not take any money, he didn't even want to sleep in your house. So that no one would think, you shouldn't think, the reason why I posked that way is because you gave me a good dinner. I posk in that way in your favor because you let me sleep in your house. No, I'm not going to take a thing from you so that no one would ever think that there was shaycha, no one ever think v'yatu mishpat. Yeah. That's one shot. Another shot that the Mepharshim give is that they were Levium. They were Levium, and they were given miser. They were given tithes. That was what they were given. And the problem is, so they're entitled to it. You're entitled to, what's the problem? But even though you may be entitled to Meiser, Truman Meiser, if you're a member of the Beis Din, you should not take Meiser, even though you're entitled to it. It's not a Sheikha, it's not a bribe, because if you're not going to give it to me, Levi number one, you're going to go on the street until you find another Levi. But the problem is that once you give that to me, you have a shtickle, more of a reason to want to be nice to you, because you were nice to me. And for that reason, some say also it was the inyan of taking things which did not belong to them, even though they were really entitled to it. Let's move on to the next Pasuk Dal. So Pasuk Dal, so unfortunately, you have Shmuel, you have Shmuel's kids that are off the derech. So this is the famous parak that discusses how the Klal Yisrael at this point feel it's time to get a king. And up until now, we do not have a melech. V'iskavsu kol zikni Yisrael v'yavohu el Shmuel haramasa. So all the zikni Yisrael, so these are not just the Pashto Yidden, the zikni Yisrael went, and they spoke to Shmuel. What did they say to him? V'yomri lov hine ata zakanta. Nice way to start a conversation. You're old, right, Shmuel? Hine ata zakanta. Look, you're an old guy. Uvanecha lo holcho bidrachecha. And your kids are not doing the right thing. If your kids would be the same as you, okay, so then it would continue. But your kids are off the derech. They're not doing what's proper. They're not good role models. And you're an older guy. You can't continue. We'll focus on that in a second. Ata now, sim alanu melech, point for us a king, v'shofteinu kechol hagoyim, that you should judge over us just like all the nations of the world. Oh. So, how bad is such a statement? After all, the Torah says, right, there's a mitzvah of having a king. So it seems like they want to be mekayim a mitzvah. So it sounds like it's a beautiful thing that they're doing. So let's begin with Mrs. Dove.
Furthermore, you couldn't build a Beis Hamikdash otherwise.
Right, that's right.
That's not the reason. That's the reason that they want a king, they want to feel like all the rest of the
Oh, right, that's what the Mepharshim are going to say. Right. That's what the Mepharshim are going to deal with. It shows in their words that was their motivation.
Because Hashem was the king.
Right.
No, you had to promote the king.
There's no saying you had to.
You had to.
And why was Hashem mad that they wanted the king?
Oh. These weren't the right
points. You had to have a king.
Because their motive wasn't good. The minute they crossed the Jordan River,
yes,
there were three mitzvahs they had to take care of. Number one was appoint a king, and then Mechias HaMalek. And once he did that, then the Beis HaMikdash.
Oh.
That's the order. You couldn't do one without the other. This was the order.
So let's look in the Radak then. Let's go straight to the Radak. Then we'll see the Mesudas David afterwards. Says the Radak, Sim alonu melech shavtenu kechol goyim. Amar Rabbi Hussein Zichron of Racha, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says like this, Shloshi mitzvos nitzav Yisrael, bech nisas in the arts. That's what I'm doing. There are three mitzvos. The Mepharshim grapple over the idea of what the word mitzvah means. Is a chiyuv, is a rishos. Mitzvah usually means it's an obligation. What are the three mitzvahs? Limnos aleihem melech, they have to appoint a king. Limchay zera mole, they have to destroy a mole. Limnos base of a chiyuv, they have to build the base of Mikdash. In fact, because of that order, David HaMelech, what happens, we're going to see in Shmuel Bet eventually, is that when David became David HaMelech, the second king, he was able to defeat our enemies. He was a warrior. He immediately said, I'm the one that's going to build a base of Mikdash. So much so that he went to Nasan HaNavi, and he asked, should I build a base of Mikdash? Nasan, who was a Navi, didn't even ask Kodesh Baruch, didn't espouse nothing. He said, yeah, of course you're going to build a base of Mikdash. You're the man. Of course he didn't. His son did, because of various reasons. But those are the three things that the Bnei Israel are instructed on some level to do. In Cain, so here's the kasha. Frank, the Radak, he asked the question, Lama hoya hadavar rabbein yashet? We're going to see in Pasuk Vav, which we didn't read yet, I don't think, right? That Pasuk Vav is going to say, Be'yera hadavar be'eni Shmuel, and it's also going to say that it was bad in Hashem's eyes as well. Why? It's good. They're doing a mitzvah. When Hashem's angry, we're doing a mitzvah? Well, why would Hashem be disappointed in that? Halavai, we should do mitzvahs. Lafi, so the way that the Radak interprets this, is Lafi shebeteruma sh'olu oso v'lo l'shem mitzvah. So the way it sounds like what the Radak is saying is that it's not the fact that it is a mitzvah, but the intention of why they wanted to do this had nothing to do with a mitzvah. It happened to be after the fact, if they looked up in the 613 mitzvahs, it's a mitzvah. To them, they could care less if it was a mitzvah. Based on their lashon and the language, it was clear they could care less if it was a mitzvah. They wanted it for ulterior motives. Ki'ilu omru, if they would have said, we'll just see this last line there, now, Tenu lanu melech shishvateinu b'yosher uv'emuna. We need a king so that he'll keep us on the right path and straight and narrow. Lo yhadavar ra b'nei Shmuel. That wouldn't have been bad. Shari kasuv meyud ki banav lo haya shoftim yisharim. Everyone knows, Torah says, we just read in Navi, that his kids were no good. So, obviously, Shmuel wouldn't have been disappointed. Shmuel knew that he was advanced in age. Shmuel knew his kids were not doing the right thing. So, if they would have framed their question or their statement in a way which have given the impression that they're interested in doing a mitzvah, then it wouldn't have been a problem. If we jump down one more line in the Radak, the Ode, Sh'omru, they said, Kichol HaGoyim. That was what you picked up on. V'heim lohayas srichim kichol HaGoyim. Right? It's mashma that their whole inyan of why they wanted the Melech was not because Shaitan Torah is a mitzvah, hinni Mukhar Mazuman Lakayim. No, they could care less about it being a mitzvah. It was Kichol HaGoyim. I want to assimilate. I want to be just like the other nations of the world. They have their king. We have our king. We need that sense of security of having a melech. And that was the mistake that they made. According to the Radak, at least. The way that, if you look at the Mitzudas David, which is now we're going out of order, Mitzudas David says, on atazakanta means, but doesn't mean that just they're poking fun at him, making sense. Yeah, you're old guy. Your strength is not the same. Your level of endurance isn't the same. You can't travel around like you used to. It gets to you. You know, you can travel around, but all you do is you're in city to city, packing, unpacking your suitcase. You have no place to live.
Wearing them down.
So what do you expect? You can't continue in this way. So we have to think for the future. Now the English over here on page 49 brings down that this Mida Ra, actually he quotes the Gemara on the bottom right, Gemara in Sanhedrin says that this was not really the approach that everyone had. The Talmud notes that the elders, Zikni Israel, asked for a king to judge them, which was proper. But the common people were faulted for saying that they wanted to be like all the nations. So the way that the Pasuk reads, it was Pasuk Dalas, it's Kamsu Kol Zikni Israel. So the Zikni Israel, when they turn to Shmuel, they were correct when they said, Simu Lanu Melech, L'shaftenu, period. And then the Kechol HaGoyim, the way the Gemara darshans, is that they're the people who are not on the higher Madrega, the lower tier. Those are the people that were wished to assimilate. But the Tzadikim, the Zikni Yisrael, they certainly wouldn't have said Kechol HaGoyim. At least that's how the Gemara interprets it. All right. But the Indian is that are we leaders or are we followers? Are we a light unto the nations or are we following their light? And that's the issue of Kechol HaGoyim. We want to do what they do. That was the mistake that the Klal Yisrael made, so much so that Pasuk Vav, Ve'yera Hadavar Be'en Yishmuel. He was upset. This is wrong. He was angry. He was disappointed. Kasher Amru, when they said, Tenulanu Melech L'shoftenu V'yispal Shmuel Hashem. The fact that they said, appoint a king to judge, Shmuel had to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What was he going to do to ask Hashem? Says the Mesudas David, V'yispal Shiyabu Lov Hadavar L'daber, V'das Ma Yoshiv Lehem. He had no idea how to answer this. This just completely took him from surprise. What on earth is this type of a statement? Rashi says, "Vira hadavar lefi she'amru l'shaftenu kechol hagoyim." See, Rashi is picking up, as we saw the last piece of the Radak, is that it wasn't bothering him the Indian of Melech. The Indian was bothering him was assimilation. They want to be just like the goyim, and that was what bothered them. It's also brought down the Mishpat Zoham of Pshat that you can also see that the way that they framed their statement in another way. If they really wanted a melech because it was a mitzvah, then ask for it. It's a mitzvah, it's time to do a mitzvah, we're now in Eretz Yisrael, let's now go and have a melech. But that's not what they said. They first said, they started saying, you're old. Well, why didn't they mention that? Why is that so important? So you're old, you're young. Well, who cares? Your children are on the derech, they're on the derech. Who cares? The fact is, if you want to have a melech, ask for a melech. The fact that they mention these other things shows that it wasn't necessarily for the mitzvah of appointing a melech. Because what's the difference? They need to have a melech if that's what the Torah requires. Obviously, they did not have the right intentions. And that's what, according to Rashi, Kechol HaGoyim is what bothered Shmuel. So that he asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what can I do? What should I say back to them? Yomer, the pasuk continued, Yomer Hashem El Shmuel. So Hashem said, what, you're upset, you're offended, you're insulted by these people? Why would you be offended by them? Shema b'koil am, listen to their voices. Kechol Asher Yomer Lech, whatever they say. Kilo oscham osu, ki osim osu. Well, you think that they're rejecting you? It's not you, Shmuel. It's me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the one that's being rejected. Mimloich aleihem. Mimloich aleihem from reigning over them. Which, as you said, like, Hashem is our melech. Hashem is also a king. Hashem is also a melech. So, the fact that they need a melech, there's nothing wrong with asking for a melech, but it's kechol goyim as though to say, now I have a melech, I don't need the melech malchim malchim, I don't need God. So Hashem is saying, don't be upset, Shmuel. It's not you. It's not your lack of leadership. It's a chisaron in them. Pasuches. Kechol amasim asher osu miyom ha-loisi oisim Mitzrayim v'ad ha-yom hazeh. All the things that I provided for them. I took them out of Mitzrayim until this day. V'yazvuni v'yavdu elhim acher. What do? They're a bit of a nazar. This is how they pay me back. All the chassadim that I've done for them, what do? They worship a rock. They worship a piece of wood. A bit of a desert. Kain heim osim gam loch. This is also what they're doing to you as well. In other words, this is nothing too surprising. And the way that the Mesudas David frames it, Kechol Hamasim, says the Mesudas David, this is not there's no chiddush over here. This is something which the Bnei Yisrael have always done. They always reject the people that have given them the most, the kindest people, the ones that they sweep under the rug. Jumping a couple lines to Mesudas David, Kein Him Osin. That's how they act. Gam Ata. Also now, B'masha Omru, when they said to you, Sima Lona Melech L'shaftenu. It's not you, it's them. It's something which is them l'shitaso. They always act this way. There's nothing too unique in their behavior. Continues the next pasuk tes. Pasuk Tes tells us, V'yata, now Shema B'Koyel, listen to their voices. Ach, ki ha'ed ta'id bohem. What does that mean? Says Mesud Sion, inin hasra. Give them the proper warning. Mesud Sion continues, al shem shederech la'asos mitnei edim, which means with witnesses, l'man li'chachesh la'chizman. So they shouldn't contradict. Oh, I never agreed to that. I didn't know that. Spell it out. Make sure that they know what they're getting themselves into. Ki hoy toy bohem, v'gad tolehem, mishpat ha'melech asher yimloch aleihem. They think they want a king. They may not understand what that entails. All the headaches that they're going to end up having, all the things they're going to lose because they have a melech. That's something which they need to be aware of. And Rashi basically says the same thing on this, the words, ki hoy toyid, bahem hasra bahem she'emas malchum aleh. But so what exactly does he have to tell him? So that's what the next psukim are going to say. Pasuk Yud. V'yomer Shmuel, eis kol divrei Hashem. So Shmuel told the Bnei Yisrael all the words on page 50. El am hasho'alim ito melech. He said it over to the people that really desired a king. So listen to what a king, what it means to have a king. The Yomer, he said, Zeyhem mishmat ha-melech. These are the laws. Asher yimloch aleichem, when you have a king that reigns over you. Es b'neichem yikach. Your sons that you love, that you care about, he's going to rip them away from you. V'samlo b'merchavto u'farashov. And he's going to use them in his among his chariots as well as his cavalry. V'ratzu lifnei merchavto. And they're going to run in front of his chariot. So if there's any bullets that are shot toward the president, so they'll get shot. They'll be able to protect the king, and unfortunately you'll mourn their loss, but that's the reality of protecting the king. Mesudas David over here in Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Yikach v'shamlo Yikach osam b'chazakam. It doesn't mean that it's going to be maybe I'll join the army, maybe I won't. It's a draft. Exactly. It's not your choice. The fact that your kid may not want to join the king's army, it's not. It has no options. V'losim lo saralafim v'sar chamishim, and he's not going to have a small army. He's going to have captains of thousands in the 50s. V'lacharosh charish v'liktzer katsiro. They're going to plow for him. They're going to harvest for him. V'lasos klim l'chamto klei mir richboi. In order to make all the various vessels of war, to make swords and the like, as well as to be able to build up numerous chariots, which are modern-day tanks. V'es b'noi seichem yikach. So say, okay, so my sons will fight in the army. They'll get good and strong. They'll learn a little bit of discipline. At least my daughters will just stay at home and they'll be safe. No. He'll also take your daughters. So you'll have an empty nest, but it's not for a good thing. Your kids are going to be in harm's way. So what are your daughters going to do? Are they going to be fighting? Not really, but nonetheless, they'll be used as perfumers, cooks, and bakers. After all, you need them to feed the huge army that you have. Your fields, your vineyards, your gardens, everything, even if they're the best ones that you have, that's what he'll take. And he's going to give it to his servants, to his loyal soldiers. And all of your vineyards and all of your fields, he's going to tithe. He's going to take a whole bunch of taxes, which are going to be placed upon your property and on your crops. Obviously, he has to feed his officers and his servants, and he's going to do it by making you poor, by taking all your stuff. Yes, of dechem, yes, shivchoisechem. He's going to take everything. He's going to take your slaves, your animals, your maidservants. He's going to use them for his own benefit. So as the king is going to be all safe and secure with your kids, all your possessions, you'll have no children, and all of your possessions will be confiscated. As well as your livestock, your sheep, he will tithe. You're going to be slaves to him. You think this is going to free you by having a king? You'll feel enslaved. You're going to scream out to Hashem, Malchem, because of this king, Asher Bechartim Lachem, which you chose and you have Charata, I should never have done this. V'lo Yana Hashem Eschem Yomahu. Hashem will not answer you. The fact that you got yourself into this mess, that's your problem. And that's how the Mefarshim actually explained. It's brought down, the Kasha is brought down by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He says, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu was considered a melech. So this is a chiddush, that they have a melech. But the answer is that this melech they chose instead of melech melechim melech, instead of Hashem. And therefore, because of that, when they cry out to Hashem, Hashem is no longer going to be there for them. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu acting as a melech doesn't mean that we didn't still have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem's not going to answer. So how did they respond to these words? Pasuk Yud Tes, V'yamanu ha'am lishmo b'kol Shmuel. They refused to listen to him. So they didn't care about what Shmuel's hasra, his warning. The Yomru lo, and they said, no, ki im melech ye'aleinu, we still want a king. V'yinu gam anachnu k'chol ha'goyim, again, we want to be just like the nations of the world. Yushvatanu malkenu, that he will judge, and he'll be our king. V'yatzu lefaneinu v'nilchem asmelchem oseinu, he'll fight our wars. V'yishma Shmuel, as kol divrei ha'am, V'yadabrein ba'ozne Hashem. Shmuel obviously wasn't expecting this response, and therefore he turned to Hashem again to find out what to do. And on this, the last pasuk in this parak, V'yomer Hashem el Shmuel, so Hashem said, Shema b'koilim, listen, you gave them their warning, you gave them the hasra, now listen to their voices. V'yimlach lehem melech, and get a king for them. V'yomer Shmuel el anshei Yisrael, L'chu ish l'iro. So then Shmuel told the people that you can go, each man, to a city. And we're going to see in the next parak how we're going to find who the melech will be, which ultimately will end up being